Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15, I think. No, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We studied hold fast a great deal yesterday. Everybody remember what it means?
Cling, sling, slicker.
Sink into as a garment. The idea of wearing what you're holding fast. Now, this is used in a bad sense. Let's go to John 5. This is about when Jesus is at the pool of Bethsaida. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is a pool at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now long a time in that case. And he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? That the phrase had been a long time is the same. He had sunk into this disease and it was impossible to be healed. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And then they got into all the trouble with because he healed somebody in the Sabbath. Back to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. The word form, the form is hypotyposis. It's the word for pattern or example or even parable. So you hold fast this form, this mystery, this wearing, if you will, of the sound words. And let's go to a few scriptures. Let me see if I can get them in order. First, go to Exodus 25. This is when.
Just I'm thinking about why you're doing this, why we're going to such lengths on hold fast. And I conclude that our tendency is to not hold fast to sound words. Our tendency is to slough off, remain in what we've already slunk into, which is sloth or whatever.
which is sin.
Pardon me?
What you've remained into, slink into, is sin.
Yeah.
Isn't holding fast that's as important as repenting?
Hmm?
Holding fast is as important as repenting.
Yeah, that's the. It's what happens after repentance.
Yeah.
You slink into. Now, everything in your mind is an enemy of this. Because everything in your mind is an enemy of faith. And so the only way this, you slink into this garment of sound, this form, is by total emptying. I can't emphasize that enough. Let's go to we said Exodus 25. It's just one verse. He's talking about making all the utensils and everything of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Just as an example, in 37 it says, "And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it, and the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Every single aspect of that pattern that was showed Moses in the mount is the revelation of the aspect, an aspect of Jesus Christ. We could go through each vessel and each tong and each candlestick and each snuffer and every aspect of the entire temple. Tabernacle in the wilderness was made after the pattern showed him in the mount, and the fullness of that pattern was the revelation of Christ. Amen. Okay, let's now go to Romans 2. Can't get my hands to work even. Verse 17 of chapter 2. "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." And the word form is this word for pattern, blueprint, if you will. And so he's confirming here that it's a more excellent thing than the law being the pattern for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now to 1 Timothy, right next door to where we're studying, chapter 1. Now, Paul is now talking about himself, and he always says he's foolish when he does it, but verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So he had the arrogance to say that he was the pattern, which is a pretty heavy statement. One more, Hebrews 8. Know of the things which we have spoken, verse 1. This is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example, or the pattern, and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou maketh all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So again, hold fast, sink into this parable, this pattern, this example. Let nothing deter you from that. Not a single care of the world, not the deceitfulness of riches, not lusting after anything, no future, no past, only the pattern, which is eternal. Amen? Of sound words, sound obvious, is just hygiano, which means complete, healthy, whole. And words is logos. And then this is another emphasis of where love and faith reside. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It's nowhere else. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. There is nothing else. All right. Verse 14. That good thing, again, it's hold fast the pattern. The form of the ice machine. No. Hold fast that pattern, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The only way you can keep it by the Holy Ghost is when you're out of the way. That good thing is kalos. And it's an incredible word. It means genuine, real, approved by testing, surpassing, precious. And it's used of, well, let's do it again. We got to go running around to see what this good thing is. Let's go to Matthew 13. This is in the explanation of the pattern, of the parable of the sower. And so the first thing that we see in chapter 13, verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So this good thing, kalos, here is used of the ground or the earthen vessel for the seed, which is kind of interesting. It's used next in Luke. Now in Luke, he does something weird, or more. He emphasizes it in the same parable. Luke chapter 8. And let's read this parable again, because it's in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit of 100-fold. Now there, this good ground is the same word, kalos. But then when he explains it, it goes beyond that. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now this, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which they, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, the interesting thing, it's used here, it's on good ground, and they which are honest and good. It says, it's used with a goph, it's the only place in the Bible where it's used, kalos, which is the good ground, is used in the same sentence with a gathos. So it emphasizes that this ground became supreme, became the reason it was created, you, because you contain that seed, and you are with patience you wait on God. Amen. And committed, we just studied, keep by the Holy Ghost. hagios pneumo, which dwelleth, is en oikio. And it's used only with regard to spiritual significance. And we won't go through all these, but I'll tell you what they are. In 2 Corinthians 6:6, it's used of the indwelling of God in believers. In Romans 8:11, it's used of the Holy Spirit in us. In Colossians 3:16, it's used of the word of Christ in us. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it's used of faith in us. But now let's go to Romans 7. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say, then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust or coveting, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now this is your life right here. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I do, I don't want to do. I'm going to target it. For what I want to do, that I don't do, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I don't want to do, I'm consenting unto the law that it is good. Now this is the beginning of the process. I can only speak stupidly about me because this is my experience. I had absolutely no interest in any law, especially any religious law. For me, the only law was rules are for when brains run out. Well, brains ran out. But then at this first, when that happened, all of a sudden, if I did what I didn't want to do, then all of a sudden it hit me. My God, I'm consenting that the law is good. Now that's the crossover. That's when you cross from natural to carnal. You consent unto the law that it is good because you're doing what you don't want to do. And this is a critical issue in your spiritual life. For some, this may take many years. Fortunately for me, it only took a few months. I consented. I did what I didn't want to do. And so I realized I was consenting. I was shocked that I was consenting that the law was good. Do you understand what I'm saying? What?
I understand.
You had the same experience?
No. A lot of them.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now here you can't go around with a cliche. The devil made me do it. You have to see this not as a philosophy, but you have to face it. And it's a big, big deal. Watch. If I then do which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And therein you become poor. And the real meaning of poverty. Amen?
Yeah. You know you're poor.
Yeah. Right, you know you're poor. You've always been poor. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil, which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Now, listen, you got to hear this. I find then a law. When I would do good, the evil one is present with me. So all the do-gooders in the world are being deceived. In my mind, I've never done any good. And it's obvious by looking around. What? I delight in the law after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Now, back up to verse 20. That's what we're studying. This word dwelleth is only used of spiritual significance. And here is this crossover point. But sin that dwelleth in me. So it's not only the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the Word of Christ and God Himself and faith and all that other good stuff dwelling in you. All of a sudden, at some point, you find out, my God, it's sin that's dwelling in me. That's why Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. That's why we are the Antichrist. We are the instead of Christ. Our number is 666. And every one of us has the mark of the beast on our hand and in our forehead. Because if we use that forehead, that thought process, to determine the next step, then your right hand has got the mark of the beast on it. See a little bit? Verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Remember what we talked about. This death that he's talking, and being delivered from that body, is when a dead body was chained. You were bound face to face, your entire body, with a dead body as the punishment for certain crimes. It was to be the most horrible death that you can imagine, with its rotting flesh next to you and the maggots crawling all over you. You can't even imagine that death. But that's how God sees us when we're trying to live in two worlds. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death? And what does he say? He doesn't say you're delivered. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So therefore you owe nothing to the flesh. You owe nothing to your senses. You owe nothing to your thoughts. You owe your emotions absolutely nothing. Therein, then, can faith be realized. Therein, you have sunk from this beast into, you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough for today. Well, we're already over time anyway. What am I talking about? Anybody have any response to anything? It always tells the same story.
That equating that with the Pactos was just struck home that that's what that verse meant.
I mean, kalos with agathos.
Ow.
Once you have realized your death, and you live that way, then your ground has become this kalos and agathos. Because agathos means it's moving, it's in the perfect will of God. And kalos means the supreme, wonderful thing. You're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So your residence is no longer on this earth. Our residence is on the mercy seat. That's wherein we dwell. Because if we don't dwell on that mercy seat, I promise you, you will be deceived. Okay?
I'm thinking about the seed needing fertilization, or fertilizer.
We are the fertilizer.
It's like a bag of fertilizer going out. Okay, let's plant some seeds.
Amen.
Yeah, the good ground is what's been plowed up and turned over, and totally your life is totally upside down.
Amen.
You're not able to even receive it.
I was thinking when Isaac asked Abraham where the
sacrifice was. Yeah.
What are we going to use to fertilize this?
It be us. The offscouring of the world. The offscouring, a spectacle unto the world.
You said the dwelleth word is only used in spiritual issues. Is it was ever used with like a demon possession?
I'll have to check that.
Where somebody had demons with them, is that the word that they used?
It must be because it was used with sin, so it probably is also used, but I didn't check that out. I'll check it out for them.
So when they use that form of the word, I always knew that it's not like I'm dwelling in a house.
Right.
Or
right.
There's something mystical beyond
right.
Physical perception.
Let me see if that word is used in regard to demon possession. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.